Go to Genesis chapter 26. Tonight, we're going to look at Isaac and the eyewitness. I was excited today when the Lord opened the eyewitness of the Old Testament. I had no idea how many times he appeared to people. And the power of that, we're understanding the eyewitness like never before and how it's part of the apostolic blueprint. It was part of the foundational blueprint of the early church. And now I'm finding it's part of the foundational blueprint of the Old Testament. When God establishes the eyewitness with his people, and God establishing the testimony of his church, especially because our call is to bear witness of his resurrection. And God is going to renew that message again in the last hour. And you're going to see demonstration as the Holy Spirit authenticates the resurrection in the right hand of God. We're going to see a realm of power, because with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection in great grace. Say great grace. Never before was that word used, great grace, but in that time where he was given witness of the resurrection. And you can give witness of the resurrection. We all are called to do that, but it's a different under an apostolic government, because the Lord establishes it as an eyewitness with his people. That's why every apostle of the New Testament church and the early church saw the Lord. Paul said, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? He said he was seen in 1 Corinthians 15 of all the apostles. Say all. Praise God forever. And the first thing the Lord did when he came out of the grave is start revealing himself. He was establishing the testimony. And then he opened the books, as we know. We got into that. He opened the books and showed them the resurrection and the right hand of God. He gave them the word. He gave them the eyewitness. And then he gave them the Holy Ghost. He said, wait for the Holy Ghost. And you will be my eyewitnesses. See, the Holy Ghost, under apostolic anointing and apostolic government, when he's anointing the eyewitness and he's confirming the eyewitness of his people and the eyewitness of the word, see, he's going in the mouth of two and the Holy Spirit's confirming that message. We go with three. You as an eyewitness, or the apostolic government, the word of the eyewitness, and the Holy Ghost. Now, we already have the Holy Spirit. Say hallelujah. Why does God make appearances? Sometimes it's purely of grace, but many times that God's making his appearances to people is he's establishing, authenticating the message he gives them. Because that's the message. The highest level of testimony is the eyewitness with the word of the resurrection. That's the highest level of testimony. And that's what the Holy Ghost could anoint again in the last hour. When you get the blueprint right, you'll see the power. When the church gets the blueprint right again, and God's going to restore that blueprint as part of our calling, we're praying God to restore it. It's purely a grace. The eyewitness is really not a promise. It's a grace. It's a grace that he's given to the apostolic office. And when you recognize the grace and recognize the blueprint, you have a right to ask him for it. Because this is the way you do it. So isn't it better to believe without seeing? Of course it is. Because this is not about you and God. It's about your witness to humanity. It's about your testimony to the world. Amen? So tonight we're going to look at Isaac. And I love this. He showed himself to Abraham four times. The last time was in chapter 18 when three men, it was two angels and the Lord himself showed up. And Abraham cooked them lunch, everything. Wouldn't you like to do that? Spent probably most of the day with the Lord himself. Because after he fed them, the Lord said, am I going to hide from Abraham the thing I want to do? He tells him, he goes, I'm fixing to take out Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes, I'm going to take them out. He reconfirms the promise to Sarah, all that in the middle of an eyewitness. And he sends the angels, and they walk from there in Hebron, and they walk somewhere to the place where they can see the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know how long they walked, but they walked a good long time. Then God went in and sent the two angels into Sodom, and those were the two angels that went in there to rescue Lot. But Abraham was making intercession to the Lord in an eyewitness state. Very powerful. And then he said he left off communing with him. I mean, when it says Abraham walked with God, he walked with God. Walked with him here. God walked with him in the earth. We're going to have to get the renewing of the mind and understanding of why God makes his appearances like this. To man, he's establishing the testimony of the word. He did it with Abraham for two major testimonies. One was the covenant for the land. That's when he walked in that covenant. He split the heifer in halves and he walked in a figure eight with a burning lamp. Walked. That was one of the appearances. He was a burning lamp. And the second time he appeared to him was for his generations, his seed, because he promised him the Redeemer was going to come out of his seed, Christ, the seed of Christ. Every time he spoke to him, he said not seeds of many, but seeds of one. And he was confirming and authenticating Abraham's lineage, that I am indeed going to bring the King of Kings. I am going to bring the Savior of the world through your loins. And he appears to him in an eyewitness state and tells him, and he gives him the word of promise. And the Holy Ghost multiplies them greatly. Both Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were greatly multiplied. We're going to look at this tonight with Isaac. Very powerful. So you will. We're going to begin with Genesis 26. That's all the review I can do. We're going to begin verse 1. This is exciting. And there was a famine in the land. God does a lot. Do not be afraid of a famine. He always does great stuff in middle famines. God moves in famines. You just need to be on his side. Amen. Never has God ever been intimidated by a famine. He's always doing great things in the middle of famine. So if famine comes over this nation, I'm going to tell you right now, of a financial famine, I am not going to be a part of it. I'm going to be on the other side. I'm going to be on God's side. God does some serious blessing in the middle of famines. If he's with you, then you're with him. Don't be getting under that kind of thing. God knows how to bless in the middle of a famine. You're going to find that out. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Now, Abraham went to Egypt, but Isaac was on his way to Egypt. He was like father, like son. God said, you're not going to Egypt. You're going to sit right here in the middle of famine. So he tells him, you're going to stay right here. God was going to do something remarkable. We'll pick that up in verse 2. It's his first appearance of the Lord in Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him. Say, appeared. There are times God would speak to them. In dreams, he'd speak to them with voices because they didn't have Bibles in their hands. And there's time he appeared to them and talked to them. This was an eyewitness encounter with the Lord. He said, the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I tell thee of. Sojourn in this land and I will be with thee. When God appears to you and tells you he's going to be with you, you might as well know you're going to be blessed. There's not much the devil can do about that. He goes, I will bless thee. I like that. Do not be ashamed when God starts blessing you, when nobody else is getting blessed, and you're getting highly blessed. That's the time you stand straight up and say, that's the blessing of my God. You don't ever have to apologize for the blessing of the Lord that comes on your life. People think of somebody, the preacher, the first thing they do is getting blessed by offerings. God has a million ways to bless his preachers. I'm going to be one mightily blessed. Mightily blessed. I have found nothing good about poverty whatsoever. The only thing I found out about poverty is I want out. There's nothing poverty does for you. He's trying to teach me something. He can teach me with blessing just like he can teach me with nothing. I'd rather him teach me with something rather than teach me with nothing. You're going to learn either way. You're going to figure that out now. God is still in control whether you're mightily blessed or you're not. Taught Abraham. Abraham making all kinds of mistakes. He just kept blessing him. Now, this is why he appears to him right here in verse 3. He says, for unto thee and thy seed. See, he's reconfirming that covenant with Abraham. And this is, he's really talking about the seed of Christ because Galatians chapter 3 tells us he's talking about the seed of Christ. For unto thee and thy seed will I give these countries. See, he reconfirms the covenant for the land. And I will perform the oath that I swear unto Abraham thy father. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. And I will give unto thy seed these countries. And thy seed shall in all the nations of the earth be blessed. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He saith not seeds of many, but seeds of one, which is Christ. He's confirming the eyewitness, by an eyewitness encounter, that I'm coming through your loins. The Lord of glory is coming through your generations. Confirms it with an eyewitness. Confirms it with his word. Confirms it with an eyewitness. Highest level of testimony. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs that birthed the heir of God. came through their loins. God promised to bring it through their loins by covenant. You know, I make a covenant that every male child will be circumcised the eighth day. And I will not break that covenant. And he brought the promised Messiah in. He brought him in through their lineage. They had to bear testimony of that. They bore testimony that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to come down through our loins, and he is going to bring salvation to the world. He'll be like a king like no other king. He got that in an eyewitness. God gave it to him in an eyewitness state. When he gives it to you in an eyewitness state, I'm telling you, he's sealing your testimony. Now, he's given him the eyewitness. He's given him his word. What happens next? Holy Ghost time. He said, you just wait, Isaac. Find out what the Holy Ghost is going to do. See, God's not going to have you go to the world with just the eyewitness and the word. He's going to have you go to the world with demonstration. Now, the way he demonstrated with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is he blew them out with the blessing of God. It's so powerful. The kings of the earth recognize the power of that blessing. Now, you remember that song we were dancing to? Because you're going to be dancing again after you hear this message. Hallelujah. I can hear the sound of the river coming down. They that find the living waters in the last days will reign in this earth. As we know, those waters are going to break out of the temple of God. They may be coming down from the right hand, but they are breaking out of our belly. Breaking out, flowing to the Dead Sea. Breaking out, flowing to the great sea of commerce. The double river, where these double rivers shall go. And Isaac, verse 6, dwelt in Gerar. I don't know what the deal is with him and Abraham. Both of them had the same issue. They were pawning their wives off as their sisters. Abraham did it. Sarah was half sister. But Isaac's pawning off now. He's doing the same thing. And the kings liked their wives. Sarah was a hottie. At 90 years old, you understand. In chapter 18, she was well stricken in years. Say well stricken. When you are described as well stricken, you've been struck. There's nothing you're going to do about it except God. Hey, I got a promise for you ladies. You ought to perk up right here. God said, I'm going to certainly visit you at the time of life. You know what he tells you? I'm going to turn your clock back one. I'm going to turn you back to the time of life. She was 90 and God had to back her up to at least about 40. No more than 45. Backed her straight up. Backed her skin up. Backed her countenance up. Backed her health up. Backed her body, her birthing faculty, backed Abraham up too. That was God's solution to Viagra, you understand? Just back him up. Everyone say, back him up. Well, he backed up. That was chapter 18 and chapter 20. There in Gerar, King Abimelech said, who is that woman? He wants her. Abraham introduces her as his sister. He goes, I'm taking her, a 90-year-old woman. She obviously was not well stricken in age anymore because she was a hottie at 90. Can you imagine? She threw the cane out. God gave her a wardrobe change. Whatever he did to her, she wasn't well stricken anymore. You can have that right to believe God. If he turn them back, he'll turn us back. Turn us back, Lord, turn us back. In the glory, he reneweth our youth like that of the eagle. That's your promise. You know, in heaven, you're not going to have any old people walk around heaven. They all get turned back in heaven. Everybody gets turned back to around 30, 33 years. All the children grow up and they'll hit about 30, 33 and you're going to live like that for all eternity. Isn't that good? And Abimelech chastised, he saw Isaac and his wife. He said, hey, she is not your sister. Verse 11, Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Don't mess with this man. Now watch what God's about to do for him. He gave him his word, gave him the eyewitness. Now he's about to pour the blessing of God, because he's going to confirm that, so much so that he's going to get the attention of the entire nation, because the blessing is going to come on him so powerful. God has many ways to confirm his two major ways, his power and blessing. True blessing. I'm not about blessing. I'm talking about major blessing. Pouring over where everybody can see it. Where it don't matter what somebody thinks about it, because God's going to fill your cup today. He's going to fill your cup tomorrow. He's going to fill it the next day. There's not lack anywhere. Not for five generations. You can't find it. And Isaac, verse 12, sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Do you hear that? 100-fold. Only time it's mentioned in the entire Old Testament, 100-fold. Reaps 100-fold the same year the Lord appears to him. He sowed in the land. He didn't go put an offering in the land. That's not what he sowed. He sowed seed, but they're in a famine. And the problem in a famine is there's no water. That's why God sent Abraham the first time down to Egypt, because Egypt, they weren't depending on the rain. They learned to irrigate and find the water from the earth. And Abraham must have shared that technology with Isaac, because he went and found the wells of his father Abraham. And when you find water and nobody else has found water, then you are going to be mightily blessed. When you find something that nobody else has and nobody had water, he went and planted. You could imagine what they were looking at him and say, can you believe this man is planting in the middle of a famine? Nobody plants in a famine unless you're a man of faith with a blessing of God on you. That's like buying when nobody else is buying. That's like storing corn when no one's storing it up. Because you're moving in the blessing of God, and you're moving in the river of God, literally moving in the waters. Isaac found water. And the man, verse 13, waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. There is a difference between great and very great. I'd like to have great right now. How many of you like to have great? When you wax great, that means you're mightily blessed. And then when you're very great, that's like separating you from millionaire to billionaire. Amen. We need some more very great people in the body of Christ. He had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, and great store of servants. That would be like having businesses, possessions of businesses. Olive yards and vineyards. And the Philistines envied him. I don't know if anybody in here right now yet has the envy of the world. When you can have the world envying you, you're going to have something on your life to get the attention of the world. But God did it by design to confirm that the inheritant king is going to come through their loins. He promised him with an eyewitness. And the Holy Ghost begins the multiplication and makes him very great. And the Philistines envy him. Now look what happened, verse 15. For all the wells, say water. When you can find water and there is no water, when you find anything that nobody else has, you got it. When we get the living water from the right hand of God breaking out with creative power, the nations will come and partake of it. I'm talking creative power. Creative eyeballs appearing. I don't even know what that's going to be like. To see Donna's son, I saw him here. He was here Friday night, Michael and Jill. 31 years confined to a chair. I couldn't even imagine a month confined to a chair. Well, I walked right over to him. I said, I'm telling you, we are getting answers and keys left and right. And it's just going to be a matter of time you're going to get up off of that chair. Because I know everybody and their grandmothers prayed for him. But I'm telling you, when the apostolic blueprint gets completed, all you got to do is bear the witness. The Holy Ghost is going to get him right off of that. I told him, I said, you're going to walk. I said, you're going to walk healthy and whole. You say amen or oh me, but we're going to see it. We didn't go down this path for nothing. You've done it in the old. You've done it in the new. And you're going to do it again. Amen. And for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with the earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for you're much more mightier than we are. He shows up there, half broke, and he leaves there with the entire wealth of the nation. That's what God will do for you, that's what God will do. To the king, I'll tell you. Why, like our president, tell me that? I said, nah, I think I'll stay right here. That'd be some serious blessing. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go from us. Kicked him out of the country. That was his first bad mistake. Do not kick somebody out that has the blessing on them, because you can get in on it. If it ain't on you, then get with somebody that it's on. I've already determined it's going to get on this church. We're too far into it now. Way too far. We have too many keys. We have the blueprints. It's better to go after it when you can see than just go after it blind. Better to see what God's doing. That's what the Word of God will do for you. You're a lot more prophetic than you think you are. Just because maybe some of you might be able to stand in front of somebody and say, thus saith the Lord. You can look into the Word. The Word's a lamp to your feet, a light to your mouth. It'll open up blueprints for you. It'll show you things to come. It'll show you who you are, where you're going, what you're doing, how you're going to get there. Show the keys you need before they show up on your keychain. That's what gives you the faith for it, because you can see the unseen because the Word lights it up. Somebody needs to get excited. Verse 17, Isaac departed and pinched his tent in the valley of Gerar. So he moves from the city to the valley. God's just getting started now. Remember, all this blessings coming upon him is to confirm that inheritance, to confirm what he's saying, because he's carrying salvation in his loins. He said, listen, there's one that's going to come out of my loins. He's going to be the salvation of the earth. If you can believe that, you heathen people can get saved right now. Because I'm carrying salvation in my loins. What are you carrying that's going to show up in this generation? We got a lot. That's God's way. He's going to put it in you before it comes through you. Eyewitness is a major catalyst to release what you're carrying on the inside. Major catalyst. It's one of three majors. Christ is the foundation. The three living stones on top of that will be the Holy Ghost, the witness of the Word, and the eyewitness. And from that, he built the entire early church, and he's going to do it again. Verse 18. Isaac, what'd he do? Now, he could have got bitter. Because King Gerar kicked him out. King of Gerar kicked him out of the city. He didn't. He just went on. Listen, when you got the blessing of God on you, it don't matter where they put you. Abraham told Lot, you just take what you want. Lot found a good plane. He said, I'll take that plane. Abraham said, whatever you take, wherever I go, God's going to be with me. God started mightily blessing Abraham. He kicked him out into the valley. It didn't matter. Isaac went and found more water. You cannot keep a man with the blessing of God on him like that. When you get the blueprint, I don't care where you go, there's going to be an oasis of power and love and glory and grace. Everything's going to multiply. You won't have to be working to fill some seat. You won't even have to advertise. You'll be trying to find room for the people. I'm telling you, it's just the way it's going to be. When the Holy Ghost starts multiplying, when he gets the blueprint right, he is going to multiply beyond any of our wildest dreams. We probably have to ask him, okay, slow down a little bit. Slow down. We can't keep up with this. He'll be saying, choose you out seven men full of the Holy Ghost. Keep going. Isaac digged again, verse 18, wells of water. And they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, and with a Philistine had stopped him after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Here's by the devil. He'll kick you out. And in the blessing of God, he wants to come and get that blessing. He kicks him out of the city, and he found out he found water. Now he's going to come steal the water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, that water's ours. It wasn't yours last week. You didn't even care about it. You didn't know where it was. Oh, and the blessing of God will cause you to find something nobody else has. Going to give you a witty invention like Facebook right in the middle of everything. People don't even know what to do. They got mad at him because that man just found something. When God gives you an invention that nobody else has, it'll multiply beyond its wildest dimension. Amen. I'll tell you what, I said this the other day, I'll say it again. If all the world's water started becoming contaminated and everybody's tripping out everywhere, and God gives you a mantle to strike water and make it clear like he did at the waters of Meribah, all you got to do is write a constitution, wrap it up, and smite the waters. But before you do that, let me buy that whole lake that nobody wants to live on. The fish stinketh. Said, I'll take that water because you'll buy it for nothing. Nobody else wants to even be next to it because it stinks now. So I'll have all that water, smite that water, and all of a sudden, God clears the water up. So now, everybody wants to move back in. Yeah, that property value just went up 10 times. If you want to drink from it, because there ain't no water like this water, it's going to cost you. Of course, all the people of the church can drink free, but the world, you get to pay for it. Amen. Hallelujah. When you get something that nobody else has. Nobody thinks like that in the supernatural. We're all so naturally thinking. God's going to do it where God gets the glory. Holy Ghost got a million ways he's going to bless. Because he's going to confirm the inheritance of the right hand of God. That Christ received the wealth of the nations. He is the king that was set upon the holy hill of Zion. He's going to confirm that message. He's not going to send us to the world with that message with just words. There's going to be some double anointing on us. Some serious anointing. Because this is not about us. It's about his message. Amen. We just to get in on it. So they took that well. So Isaac, now you can get bitter. I'm telling you, you got the blessing of God on you. No matter how many people are stealing from you. Not Jesus, not one time was worried about Judas stealing from him. When the blessing of God is on you, if it's being taken out your back door, God will march it through your front door tomorrow morning. That kind of blessing's on you, nobody can take. And nobody's going to cause any lack. They don't have the power to cause lack. They can take everything you got and God will fill it back up tomorrow morning. Verse 21, they digged another well. And then they strove for that one too. He called the name of it Sitnah. Verse 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well. Just keep digging. One time you're going to get the well and nobody else can have. Say, that's my well. Digged another well, for they strove not, called the name of it Reboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. I don't know what he got after that because he'd already reaped 100-fold. He was probably going for 1,000-fold inheritance now. He left, went to Beersheba with the blessing of God. Now the Lord appears to him again. When God starts appearing to people, things are going to happen beyond your wildest dreams. Because he's going to confirm what you're carrying. And here's another thing. You need to get this. Most of the time, the eyewitness shows up right before the demonstration. When he told Moses, Moses always knew he'd deliver. But it was a time of deliverance. God appears to him in the burning bush. Appears to Abraham 1 year before he gives birth. Appears to Isaac the year of the 100-fold. Appears to the apostles right before the church goes, bam! He'll give his word many, many years, but his appearance most often comes right. Joshua saw him. Right when they got over the river, the captain of the host came out, and Joshua thought he was an armed soldier. He found out it was the Lord, and he bit the dust. He said, get ready. You're going to take Jericho down. I mean, met him in the promised land. He says, as I was with Moses, I'm with you. We're going to have some faith that God's going to appear again. You just got to get that in your noggin. He is going to do this. God is going to appear to his people again to establish their testimony. Well, I can believe without seeing. I know you can. It's not about you, but I really believe you need to believe without seeing. This is about your testimony to the world because it's a courtroom out there. And God's going to go with all legality. I'm going to send you as an eyewitness and back your words. It's about that person out there. It's about the convincing of the world. Well, I don't know if I'm ready. Hey, God appeared to some pretty strange people. Well, I don't know if I'd be perfect enough. I'm quite certain Thomas was not perfect enough. Thomas, here's my side. Thrust your fist in, because that's the last thing you said when I brought testimony of the others that did see me. Unless I thrust my fist into his side, I will not believe. Can you imagine the Lord walking in there and lifting his garment up and saying, now thrust it in, Thomas. Seeing that hole where that spear was? Oh, that had to hurt. Murder Paul on his way to murder some more people? Paul should not have brought Stephen's clothes with him. He took the muddy clothes because Acts 20 says he took the garments of the one they stoned. He put them in his little satchel. The blood started crying out. That innocent blood, because the last thing Stephen saw was what? That testimony. They weren't going to stone him until he said, I see the Lord. They were gnashing at the teeth. They were mad at him. But when he said, I see the heavens open in the Lord, that testimony was supposed to cause repentance to that entire nation because they had all the leaders around. Instead, they stoned him. So God took the blood of those clothes and he walked and put it on Saul. And when he was on his way to Damascus, God intervened through that intercession and showed himself to Paul, saying, now, Paul, you're going to finish Stephen's testimony. That's why God can arbitrarily appear to somebody, because somebody's making intercession. If God could appear like that to everybody, he had already done it. Stephen made the intercession for that appearance. It was all about the right hand of God. It was all about the resurrection. The entire book of Acts is about the resurrection and right hand of God. Started with it, ended with it. He told King Agrippa, he goes, all these people want to kill me. There's only one thing. Look, I was a Pharisee. They didn't care. I kept the law. They didn't care. But this one thing that I cry out, that he's been resurrected from the grave and been raised from the dead, this one thing is why all these people want to kill me. And one of them had 200 soldiers accompany him. I think it was 200. 200 soldiers. That's how bad the devil wanted to take him out. They had to put 200 soldiers around him to protect him, to get him from Jerusalem to Felix. All about the resurrection, by the way. So he goes to Beersheba, now he's going to appear to him a second time, verse 24. Boy, I like this. The Lord appeared to him the same night. When God makes his appearance, there is a reason for the season. Maybe this is our season. Before the end of the year. Boy, I'd like to see him walk through that door. I could promise you every one of us would bite the dust. Not every time he appeared in his glory. Sometimes he just appeared to them, they didn't recognize him. Then he appears in his glory. When he appears in his glory, no flesh shall stand in the middle of that glory. John said, I fell at his feet like a dead man. The Lord appeared to him the same night when he moved from Gerar, the valley of Gerar, to Beersheba, verse 24, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, I am with you. I will bless you. And see, he reconfirms the promise. I will multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded there an altar before God and called the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And Isaac's servants digged a well. They're still in a famine. God's second appearance confirming the message through eyewitness. You've got to have your mind renewed to understand why God makes the appearance. When your eyes get sealed with an eyewitness, the Holy Spirit will back your testimony. When you're carrying something from heaven, he'll back your testimony. With signs, miracles, wonders, demonstration, manifestation, and confirmation, like everybody wants him. There's a difference, by the way, of gift realm power and witness power. Do you know that? Gift realm power that you see operating in the churches will never cause mass harvest and revival. But power to witness is different. It's designed for the world. And you go to the world with an eyewitness testimony and you bring them the witness of the revelation of the Word, and the Holy Ghost backs it. He did it for the apostles. They said, look, indeed, a notable miracle has been done, and we cannot deny what has happened. A man 38 years come off the bed. Say 38 years. As a result of that man coming off, 5,000 people born again. One miracle, 5,000. No marketing. No advertising. Holy Ghost knows how to advertise too. Amen. We all settle for such half-baked things. Because someone grows a church, we say, well, let's grow a church like that. Well, if we get God's blueprint, I promise, God promises, He's going to grow it. He's going to grow it beyond anybody's wild imagination. I can tell you right now, He's going to do it. Not good? And the Lord appeared, verse 26, then Abimelech. Now, this is the king that kicked him out. They strove with him. They stole two or three of his wells. That wasn't enough. He went to Beersheba. God appears to him again. Now Abimelech shows up. Abimelech knew there was a vacuum created when Isaac left the land. There was a massive vacuum. Listen, when someone's blessing, when someone blessed, I'll tell you, one time I was at a meeting with Heidi Baker. The glory of God was so powerful in that woman. They had a service right after that. And I mean, she had to leave. She said, I got to go catch a flight. And she walked off and handed it to the other minister. It was a national minister. And the vacancy of the presence of God just left the building. You going to go that high. And then that person just closed the meeting right in the middle of the service. She was ministering and she stopped. She knew the glory left and everybody else knew it too. No use going that high and being brought down that low. Good thing about the blueprint, it's not going to rest upon you. It's going to rest upon your witness. It'll rest upon the Holy Ghost. He'll be doing all the growth. He'll be doing all everything. He'll be the demonstrator and the confirmer. You bear the testimony. And when it's eyewitness, He will back it like nothing else we've ever seen. That is our message, to bear the testimony of the right hand of God. Why wouldn't He show it to us like He showed Himself to them? That was their message. It's our message. Why wouldn't He do it? We have a right to ask Him. Everybody said, He's going to return us to the book of Acts. Well, if He's going to return us to the book of Acts, then we have a right to have what they had. Because everybody in the early church saw Him. The 120 saw Him. Peter stands up and said, we have all seen Him. He said, we're all witnesses of His majesty. Appears to 500 before His ascension. Okay, here we go. He's reconfirming in his second appearance in Beersheba. And Abimelech went to him in Gerar with one of his friends. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that name. And his chief captain of the army. And Isaac said to them, wherefore you come out, verse 27, to come to me, seeing you hate me. You've sent me away. You kicked me out. Listen, a lot of people are going to be your friend when the blessing of God shows up. Didn't like you before, and then the vacuum was created. See, God kept the blessing upon Gerar, even though they kicked him out of the city. He kept it on him until he left. That vacuum was created. When he went to Beersheba, Abimelech knew it. I mean, you know it. And they knew where it went. Now, how can the blessing of God be on somebody that powerful? Because he was confirming his lineage. And every time he said, listen, the King of Kings is coming through my loins. That's why God's blessing me. Abimelech knew it. He went and chased him down. If you got a king chasing you down, coming to your house, not inviting you to his castle, you got something. Verse 28, and they said, look at this king. He's sucking up big time now. Now, remember, he kicked him out. They envied him. They hated him, kicked him out. Now they're going to suck up. We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. Now, how would I like to say that about you? When someone looks at your life and says, God is with that person. There are people in live near today that are just so blessed, and people talk about them all the time, but all they do is get blessed. See, it don't matter if you talk about them this year, we'll get blessed. We got to have the blessing of God on us like that. Some of them belong to another order of ministry, but God still has His glory on that order of ministry. But sometimes you're carrying another order, and you're trying to get blessed in their order, but you got another order. You got another level. You got something else you're carrying that's going to fulfill things. Missing parts in the body of Christ. Amen. You got something on you. And when you got something on you, maybe you try to get it with them. And it wasn't happening because you might have something else. You got to find your place. Find out how it's going to work for you. And when it gets on you, glory to God. God will confirm your life. There is a time that God's blessing and power and glory will confirm your life. The gift realm, by the way, there's certain gifts. You can have a man living in sin and get up and operate in a gift. That's not going to confirm your life. But there is a power and a glory and a blessing that God will confirm and said, I approve of that message. We saw certainly the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath between us. Now, Abimelech wants to get back in on that blessing. He was at least smart enough to humble himself. Because if he'd have stayed outside, he would have had nothing. He'd have lost his kingdom. Isaac was going to help Abimelech keep his entire kingdom. That's how powerful it was on him. All of that was confirming the witness, confirming the witness, confirming the witness. He goes, let there be an oath between us and between us and thee, and let us make a covenant that thou wilt do us no hurt. As we have not touched thee, we've done nothing wrong to thee, nothing but good. Isaac been nothing but good. That's they're going to come back. Some of them people are going to come back to you that hated you before and said, you know I've been with you forever. You know, God told me to go on down the street, but I've been with you in heart forever. And mouth too. You've been with me in heart and mouth. I'm with you. But God has now suddenly released me to come back. Now people, God sends them all the time, but they can get sent out. They don't have to hate you out there. You know what I mean? Some of them come back and said, you know, we did nothing but good for you when we were here. Always been your friend. Isaac walking in love, he said, yeah, it's fine. You hated me, I forgive you, let's make a covenant. Why? Because Isaac knew God was using that king to confirm the lineage. He was using all of that situation to confirm the word of the oath God given him. Confirm the lineage of Christ, and God had raised him up above the king himself. Man walked into a country, didn't even know him, and raised him up above it. That's powerful, my friends. Thou will do us no hurt. For we've not touched thee, we've done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Yeah, sure you did. They kind of forget how they do it. You know how it is. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. That you said, truly. In that same day, watch this. Verse 32, the same day Abimelech come out and met him. It came to pass the same day Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well they had digged. They said, we have found some more water. Found some more water. Some of your well dried up. God's got another well for you. When the blessing of God gets on you, it don't matter if your well dried up. I had a well dry up. I had it in the first 3 years of ministry. Man, it was just rolling. I lost it, but God's got another well. God's got plenty of wells. There's water coming down from the right hand of God. It's eternal wellspring of living water. I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound. Let's all stand. I can hear the sound of the river coming down. God is going to cause us to find some more water. Amen. He's going to confirm the inheritance. I've got a feeling it's not going to be long. He's filling in the gaps, my friends. We're in the Old Testament confirming the witness. Thank you, we're going to find water. Thank you, we're going to find the witness, Father. Old and new, Father, this is your precedence. From Genesis to Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation, Father. We believe it. We believe it. It's a grace. It's a grace. It's a grace that fulfills the testimony of the office of the prophet and apostle. And Father, we thank you. All those with it, get in on it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. God bless you tonight.